Hello, and welcome to our program, Senior Living, brought to you by OWL Radio and the Low Vision Resource Center. I'm Chrissy Mernon. During this next half hour, I'm reading articles from the AARP Bulletin here on OWL Radio. And this is Cover Story, Where We Stand, by Joanne Jenkins, CEO, Where Action is Needed. AARP National Geographic Aging Study provides insights that should impact our institutions and ourselves. It's hard to amaze our AARP research team, which is one of America's top repositories of knowledge related to aging. That is why we are so excited by the AARP National Geographic Second Half of Life Study. As the accompanying story reveals, it is packed with insights that cut against much of the conventional wisdom about aging in America. For the study, more than 2,500 Americans answered deep questions about their lives and hopes. Their answers reveal that many negative beliefs about aging are not only incorrect, but are also nearly opposite of the truth. Most people are optimistic about aging and do not see it as a bad thing, notes Deborah Whitman, AARP's chief public policy officer. People in their 70s and 80s are uplifting examples of resilience because they become more realistic about the changes that happen and are more likely to be happy. But research is only useful if it leads to positive change. As CEO of AARP, I've been on a mission to disrupt aging, to challenge outdated stereotypes and attitudes, and to find new solutions that help people live better as they age. Here are some of the changes we at AARP hope this report can help spark. The medical establishment needs to evolve its definition of good health. To survey participants, being in good health primarily means being independent, mobile, and of strong mind. You can have heart disease, diabetes, even cancer, and still consider yourself healthy as long as you are being treated and achieving those three goals. The more that doctors acknowledge and support these goals, the better they will serve their patients. Also, its approach to declining health. One of the toughest choices we ever face is deciding whether our ailing parents or other loved ones, or even ourselves, should undergo that next medical procedure or surgery, particularly if it puts in question future quality of life. Every situation is unique, and each of us brings our own religious and ethical beliefs to those decisions. But survey respondents noted with surprising clarity that not only is their focus on quality of life rather than on life extension, but that they also hope for a medical system that is far more accommodating and respectful of their end-of-life choices and desires. The housing industry should embrace aging at home. Posh retirement communities in perpetually sunny locales get lots of news coverage, but most Americans do not want to live in such locations. Rather, far more survey respondents said they want to remain in their own homes as they age. Unfortunately, few homes in the past were developed with older people in mind. As America's population ages and more homes become multi-generational, the more that we can build forever homes from that very first nail, the better we would serve all generations. We need to do a better job educating young adults about retirement finances. Today, a typical life pattern has us working for some 40 years and living another 20 or more years in a post-career life of our choosing. It's clear that we each need ample savings to cover our living costs over those final decades. Yet not only are too few younger adults saving for retirement, but as the survey shows, they may not have an accurate view of where their retirement income will come from. Whatever we can do as parents, employers, or policymakers to urge working adults to save more, we should do it. And we need to do a better job supporting adults in middle age. When is life toughest? Research consistently shows that during our late 40s and early 50s, career pressures often peak, children become teenagers, parental caregiving needs can emerge, and community commitments often grow. This study confirms the point yet again. AARP has launched programs for those in these stages of life, but as a culture, we should provide more support for those in this crucial midlife period. Younger generations should emulate our health focus. A stereotype that needs to be retired is that older people have an unhealthy fixation on ailments, pills, and doctors. The more accurate truth is that older Americans model a healthy lifestyle of eating well, exercising, and maintaining positive attitudes, attributes often in less supply for those in their 30s, 40s, and 50s. On our behalf, as well as our partners at National Geographic, we'd like to thank the survey participants for their honesty and wisdom. Know that we heard you and will continue to fight for an America that can accommodate your future as you wish it to be and to spark new solutions that empower you to choose how you live as you age. The next article from AARP Bulletin is Your Health, the Dangers of the Sugary Drink Trend. A daily soda habit is more harmful than you think. Here's why, by Kelsey Ogletree. From designer sodas and fresh-pressed juices to bubble teas and chocolatey frappes, we have more options to suck through a straw than ever before. Creative non-alcoholic drinks are all the rage, often matching the latest cocktails in their complexity. Consider the Spring Fling offered at Utah-based Swig, one of the new old-fashioned soda shops popping up of late. It's made with Dr. Pepper, vanilla, strawberry puree, and coconut cream. But this isn't a healthy trend. Guzzling sugary beverages of any kind puts you at greater risk for weight gain, insulin resistance, and type 2 diabetes. Drinking calories is not natural. It was never part of a human being's evolution, says Zhopeng Li, MD, director of the UCLA Center for Human Nutrition. In fact, sipping down sugary drinks may be more harmful to your health than chowing down on a candy bar. Here's why. They turn into fat fast. A typical healthy person has about 5 grams of glucose, a form of sugar, circulating in his or her blood. A 20-ounce bottle of cola contains 65 grams of sugar, 5 times as much as a typical glazed donut. When you drink a sugary beverage, it enters your bloodstream and raises your glucose levels very quickly, far faster than if you took in the same number of calories from a solid food. When your body suddenly has more blood sugar than it can use for energy, it converts this excess glucose into body fat. Worse, even though sugary beverages are loaded with calories, your brain doesn't recognize drinks as food. Calories in liquid form do not really produce satiety, Lee says, so even as it floods you with sugar, a soda won't trigger the hormones that tell you to stop eating. They come dressed as healthy. The belief that certain drinks are healthy can cause people to forget about their sugar content, says Tim Spector, MD, professor of genetic epidemiology at King's College London. A great example of this is store-bought orange juice, he adds. It's an ultra-processed food and has as much sugar as soda. And for some people, it can cause the same sugar spikes. Same goes for sweetened coffees, fruit smoothies, or sports drinks, which can contain 34 grams of sugar in a 20-ounce bottle. The American Heart Association recommends adults consume no more than 6 teaspoons, 25 grams of added sugar per day for women, 9 teaspoons or 36 grams for men. And that includes all the sugars snuck into the breads, sauces, and prepared foods that you eat. They may shorten your lifespan. If the threat of diabetes and obesity weren't scary enough, long-term consumption of sweet beverages may also increase your risk of dying from heart disease and certain cancers. Harvard researchers found sipping drinks sweetened with sugar to be associated with a moderately higher risk of breast cancer or colon cancer. They also discovered that for every additional sugary drink a person consumed on average per day, the risk of dying from heart disease increased by 10%. 5 ways to cut back. A sugary beverage now and then is okay as a treat, but on a regular basis, the sugar rush is far too rapid for our bodies to handle, says Tim Spector, MD. Some ways to cut down. Number 1, swap sparkling water for sugary soda. Calorie-free seltzers come in an array of flavors. 2. Brew your own iced tea. Chill a pot of tea, then add just a touch of sweetener if you want. 3. Flavor up your H2O. Sliced fruit or calorie-free powders or drops add zing to plain water. 4. Snack on fruit. Replace juices with whole fruits, especially citrus fruits and berries. 5. Don't drink away stress. If you need an energy rush, consider physical or mental exercise. The next article from AARP Bulletin, Your Money, Live Well for Less, by Lisa Lee Freeman. Cut the cost of online groceries. Don't pay more than you have to for convenience. Grocery delivery services are super convenient and easy to use. You can do your shopping in minutes and leave the heavy lifting to someone else. The catch? You may have to pay an extra 25 to 35% to skip that trip to the supermarket, potentially adding hundreds of dollars a year to your already rising food bills. The extra cost may include service charges, tips for delivery people, markups on individual items, as well as other fees, explains Phil Lempert, a consumer trend watcher who bills himself as the supermarket guru. Not all these extra costs are disclosed in detail. So, for example, you might not know that a box of Cheerios is priced higher online than it is in the store. For many people, the benefits outweigh the extra costs and other downsides, such as losing the chance to pick out the best-looking produce. Before the pandemic, less than 2% of grocery shopping came from online orders. In March, it was 14%, according to the research firm Brick Meets Click. To cut your bill, or at least keep it from getting out of hand, start by understanding the different available services. One option is to visit your local supermarket's website to see if it offers deliveries. Most big chains and some independents have online ordering, usually for a per-delivery fee. A second option is to sign up for unlimited free deliveries from a single retailer through a membership program such as Amazon Prime, $139 per year for fast free delivery of non-perishables, and where available through Amazon Fresh, same-day delivery of grocery orders, or Walmart, $98 per year for same-day delivery. A third choice is to use a service that delivers from multiple stores. With these services, such as Fresh Direct, Instacart, or Shipt, you either pay a per-delivery fee or sign up for an unlimited delivery program. DoorDash and Uber Eats, both of which started out as meal delivery services, now also offer grocery delivery. Whichever way you may go, scan the fine print for fees and order minimums. For example, Shipt charges $99 annually for unlimited deliveries of at least $35, but may also charge an extra $7 for an order with alcohol. And store markups could be substantial. For example, the Ramsey Solutions website found that a 10-pound box of Quaker Oats oatmeal cost $9 for in-store shoppers at Costco, but was closer to $11 for customers who ordered it for same-day delivery. Walmart, on the other hand, charges the same prices whether you shop in person or use Walmart Plus. So, which grocery delivery service do you choose? That depends in part on where you like to shop and what's available in your area. If you want to stick with your local grocery store, start by checking its website. If you live near a Walmart, signing up for Walmart Plus can get you free delivery with minimum orders of $35. If you're an Amazon Prime member and you live near an Amazon Fresh, you can also get free delivery with a minimum purchase. Whole Foods charges a service fee, or you might decide to go with a third-party service that works with a wide variety of retailers, including liquor stores and drug stores. Some other ways to save when you are buying groceries online. Opt for pickup. Some stores let you order online and pick up at the store. This saves you time. Your bags will be packed and ready to go, the delivery fee, and maybe a tip. Get loyalty rewards. Some supermarkets don't let you use your loyalty card with online orders, so if you have a choice, opt for stores that do, such as Albertsons and Kroger. Follow good in-store habits. Making a list before shopping can reduce impulse purchases. Check for sales and cheaper brands and adjust your list accordingly. Score introductory discounts. Fresh Direct, for example, was advertising $50 off your first order of $99 in April. Take advantage of multiple deals while you try out various services to see which one works best for you. Avoid pricey substitutes. If items you order are out of stock, stores sometimes substitute costlier alternatives, which raises your bill. Lempert asked to be contacted to approve any replacements. A store recently subbed an expensive pork roast for a lower-cost cut a friend of mine ordered without her okay. If something like this happens to you, complain and ask for a credit on your next order. The next article from AARP Bulletin, How to Have an A-Plus Retirement. Ace these 9 questions and you'll be doing just fine, by Kimberly Lankford. Health, number 1. Would you recognize your primary care physician if you saw her on the street? Regular checkups can save and lengthen your life. A 2019 study, for example, found that 10 additional primary care doctors per 100,000 people increases a community's average life expectancy by 51.5 days. One likely reason? Doctor visits lead to more vaccinations and screening tests for ailments. So take advantage of the free annual wellness visits included in private health insurance plans and Medicare. 2. What about your dentist? Could you pick him out of a lineup? Dental care is more important than just for keeping all your teeth, says Amanda Sonega, associate research scientist at the University of Michigan Institute for Social Research. Inflammation of the gums, for example, has been linked to heart disease. And a 2015 study found that 70-year-olds with 20 teeth or more had a lower mortality rate than those with 19 or fewer teeth. 3. When was the last time you tired yourself out? Best answers, yesterday or today. If I can recommend one thing to promote healthy aging, it's finding ways to be physically active, says Nathan Labrasseur, professor of physical medicine and rehabilitation at the Mayo Clinic. It's this incredibly powerful tool that can optimize late life health and function. Seek at least 30 minutes of moderate to vigorous physical activity most days of the week. A brisk walk, salsa dancing, or gardening will do the trick. 4. Picture your parents or grandparents living in your home. Would you worry about them getting around safely? This could be you someday. If you're planning for your forever home, make sure that it's accessible, says Byron Cordes, president of the board of the National Academy of Certified Care Managers. If you're not up to making aging-in-place renovations, wider doors and easier access storage, for example, keep accessibility and mobility in mind for your next home. 5. Would you like your neighborhood if you couldn't drive? Could you still access your needs? Would you be able to buy groceries? Are family or friends nearby? Do you feel a sense of community? People's sense of belonging in a neighborhood is good for mental and physical health and even cognition, Sonega says. Number 6, purpose. Okay, you're retired. What will you be doing next Monday? If you're not yet retired, can you name 3 activities or projects you're ready to get started on? Studies make clear that the more active and purpose-driven your retirement, the happier and longer it can be. One option is part-time work. It provides a routine and a reason to get up in the morning. It can also spur intellectual challenge, growth, and connection to a larger purpose, says Nancy Collamer, a retirement coach and author of Second Act Careers. Another option is to volunteer for a cause important to you. Volunteering emerges again and again as positive for both physical and mental health, Sonega says. Money, number 7. Add up or estimate your monthly retirement expenses. Then add up your monthly retirement income, Social Security, pensions, regular savings, withdrawals, and such. Which amount is bigger? The math is simple. Retirement money management boils down to enough money coming in to cover routine expenses and a savings stash for emergencies. If your expenses exceed your income, one option is to have an online chat with AVO, AARP's free online digital retirement coach at aceyourretirement.org. In 3 minutes, you can get a personalized retirement action plan. For in-depth help, meet with a financial planner for a one-time review of your savings and your budget. Some places to start, NAPFA.org, PlannerSearch.org, and XYPlanningNetwork.com. Number 8, late life planning. What two assisted living facilities are closest to where you live? A little research now can save a lot of angst later. It is not unusual, says Cordes, for him to get a call from panicked people needing to find an assisted living facility for an aging parent who will be discharged from the hospital in just a few days. So find out what's available in your area as well as what the costs are so you will have a starting point. If you end up needing help, also investigate the home care agencies in your area and what their rates are. Number 9. Relationships. Number 9. Relationships. How many people could you call if you were sick or scared in the middle of the night? One is sufficient, says Robert Waldinger, professor of psychiatry at Harvard Medical School. Good quality relationships throughout your life predict that you're going to stay healthier longer and you're going to live longer, Waldinger says. So nurture your relationships just as you would care for your physical health, he adds. Meet friends for a dinner or a walk to catch up and make new friends. Getting involved in activities you care about can bring you in contact with new people you have things in common with. Next article from AARP Bulletin, Your Money, Why to Keep Working After Retirement. Here are 8 good reasons, only one having to do with money, by Kimberly Lankford. Working in retirement might sound like a contradiction in terms, but that's not necessarily the case. Just because you have moved on from your primary career doesn't mean a part of your week can't or shouldn't go to some money-making endeavor. Part-time, freelance, or consulting work, or volunteering can add to your retirement satisfaction and round out your schedule. And then there are the financial benefits. Here are 8 specific reasons to consider re-entering the job market. Number 1, a cushion for your savings. Working longer is going to be a really powerful lever to increase the money available in retirement because you're not drawing down your savings and it gives you more of an opportunity to save, says Anki Chen of the Boston College Center for Retirement Research. Don't assume you have to pound the pavement searching for a high-paying job because earning just a portion of your previous salary can make a difference financially. A 2020 paper from the center found that for people 62 and older, even jobs that don't offer health and retirement benefits can substantially improve retirement security. Number 2, exercise for your brain. The University of Michigan's Health and Retirement Study, HRS, which has been tracking participants over age 50 for decades, pretty strongly shows that continuing to work has benefits for cognition, says Amanda Sonega, associate research scientist at the University of Michigan's Institute for Social Research. This isn't just because people with better cognitive health are better able to work, she says. You can get a particular kind of benefit by switching to a different type of job or role. Learning new things, psychologists call it novelty processing, may help slow cognitive decline. 3, overall health. The transition to partial employment or volunteer work unrelated to your prior career also appears to be associated with fewer physical declines and better mental health, Sonega says. A University of Maryland study of more than 12,000 retirees involved in the HRS research found that having a post-career job was associated with fewer major diseases and functional limitations. Number 4, a sense of community. The Harvard Study of Adult Development has been tracking generations of families since 1938, and one of its major findings has been how much retirement well-being depends on having good quality relationships, says Robert J. Waldinger, professor of psychiatry at Harvard Medical School and the current director of the study. Participants who were happiest in retirement replaced their old work relationships with new relationships. Doing any regular work, whether full-time, part-time, or as a volunteer, creates an environment for new interactions that can develop into those new relationships. 5, a sense of purpose. A job is one motivator to get up in the morning, and one of the major findings of the HRS research was the importance of finding a new sense of purpose after retirement. That theme of meaning and purpose keeps popping up as a major driver of a healthy retirement, says Nathan Lebrasseur, professor of physical medicine and rehabilitation at the Mayo Clinic. And continuing to work in some capacity is a great way to achieve that. Research shows that people with a sense of purpose feel younger in retirement. 6. A chance to give back. One of the great blessings of retirement, says Tim Marr, a financial planner in Charleston, South Carolina, is that it gives you the opportunity to help others as well as yourself. A great example could be someone who worked as a fashion designer teaching a class at a local vocational technical high school or college, or a mechanical engineer working part-time at a home improvement store as one of the friendly people who can help me find what I'm looking for. One piece of evidence for the benefits of giving back, a 2021 study of retirees in England found that volunteer work in retirement was associated with less depression and higher satisfaction and quality of life. Improvements in volunteers' well-being disappeared once they stopped volunteering. 7. Good times. Whether you're spending time with people you like or working in an environment that coincides with your hobbies, a plant nursery, a golf course, a job can be fun. When evaluating opportunities, ask, does this provide me with a community of people that I enjoy, says Nancy Colomer, a retirement coach and author of Second Act Careers. Are there opportunities for growth, challenge, or learning? This can be an opportunity to find a job or freelance work that you always thought would be interesting, but you never tried because it paid less or had fewer employee benefits than your previous job. 8. Serving the greater good. There were 11.5 million job openings in the United States at the end of March, the highest level since the government started measuring this in 2000. While the job market varies widely by region, stories of severe worker shortages are widespread. Why not help a local business that is struggling with too few workers get through this period? Given the market, you should have ample choices to find a role you would enjoy. And the last article from AARP Bulletin is The Cops on the Beat. These are the right ones to turn to if you've been wronged. If your home's been burglarized, you know exactly whom to call, your local police. But whom do you call if you think a broker, insurer, bank, or scam artist has taken advantage of you? Here are some common complaints and concerns and where to take them. Is my investment advisor legit? The COP, Securities and Exchange Commission. How it can help. At advisorinfo.sec.gov, you can look up investment advisors or brokers and learn about their business and past disciplinary issues. Its larger mission, the SEC makes sure that the public markets for stocks, bonds, and other investments are operated fairly and efficiently. That includes, for example, going after suspected Ponzi schemes and making sure that companies don't give false information to their stockholders. I told my broker I wanted low-risk investments, but he ignored me. The COP, Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, FINRA, how it can help. If you have a dispute with a broker, you can go to FINRA to file a complaint or request arbitration or mediation. At brokercheck.finra.org, you can also check a broker's or firm's experience and past problems. Its larger mission. FINRA oversees U.S. brokers and brokerage firms. It sets rules for sales practices, disciplines misbehavior, and provides a forum for investor complaints. A lot of my friends from church are working with the same financial advisor. They're getting high returns. Should I invest with him? The COPS, state securities regulators. How they can help. You can call or reach out online to your regulator if you need assistance vetting potential advisors, brokers, or financial products, or if you need help after you've invested. Your regulator can investigate possible wrongdoing and determine whether there are actionable violations. To find the regulator in your state, visit nasaa.org/contact-your-regulator. You have been listening to Senior Living on Al Radio. You can listen to Al Radio on our specially tuned radio or by streaming on your computer or smartphone. You may also listen at your convenience on our podcast page at www.alradio.org. Thank you for listening. This program will be replayed after 9 this evening. I'm Chrissy Mernon saying goodbye from Al Radio.